time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Welcome back. Odds Boost, Bonus Cash, Profit Boost. Bet Rivers Sportsbook has them all. Bet Rivers gives rewards with every bet, and you get to use your bonuses when you want to use them, not when they tell you to. And when you want to use your bonus cash, you don't have to play it through 50 times to convert that bonus into real cash. One-time playthroughs, hard to beat, and you've got it at Bet Rivers. Sign up now, get a $250 match on your first deposit. All bonuses are a one-time playthrough. No faster way to turn your bonus cash into real cash. Visit the Bet Rivers Sportsbook today. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey is Play Sugar House. Must be 21. Bet Rivers, here we go. We got NBA numbers. All right, seven games. Celtics are laying 1.5 in the early game against the Wizards. Look at this tweet from Tim Reynolds, who covers the league. Brown, out. Hayward, out. Smart, out. Tatum, out. Walker, out. I mean, they got to field the team here? Although the three, you, me, Matt Humans, and the guys behind the glass could probably show up and beat the Wizards. But Boston laying 1.5, and look at that laundry list of guys who are out.
So don't forget about that one game the backups played against the Nets. I know it was one quarter. They missed three shots that entire fourth quarter, and the team scored 149 points. My overall point is, and again, for people who don't like the NBA, I think that you're nuts, but whatever. There is so much talent, and we've seen so many teams now. Look at how the Raptors backups have played. Look at how the Nets backups have played. Same thing with the Celtics. You could probably go on and find a bunch of other teams and say the same exact thing, where it's just been, who's this guy? Well, who's that? Down from 25 feet. I've never heard of him. He has 22 tonight. Where'd that come from? So that's been kind of the fun takeaway. One of them anyway, for me in the bubble, but, and I just said bubble, but the, and now I lost my train of thought too.
Okay. I don't know.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. Backups. Yeah. I got your point. Lakers lane 4.5. Anthony Davis is questionable. That's the second game. 10:30 Pacific means nothing. Look at this. Memphis at Bet Rivers is lane 1. No freak. We'll see how Milwaukee and Budenholzer are treated.
Ooh. Well, integrity. Yeah, there's no freak.
Integrity.
There's no Matthews, Bledsoe, and DiVincenzo. They're not on the injury report, so in theory they should be playing. And Ilyasova is a question mark at
really?
This point.
Oh, if they can't win this game, oh my God. The Suns are lane 6 against Dallas. Dallas has, I don't know how Carlisle will treat it. Dallas has nothing to play for, and they played a 117-115 game earlier in the bubble. Phoenix trying to go to 8-0 in the bubble, and Dallas locked
in. How would
in.
You treat this, by the way? Let me ask you, how would you treat this if you're Carlisle?
If
Porzingis is questionable.
Well, you don't want
to. Same thing with Seth Curry.
You want all that time off? See, if I'm Milwaukee, I got to play people. I'm not playing
so
well.
So do I.
I want to be sharp.
So do I.
If I'm Dallas, I guess, because the whole team is Porzingis and Luka. So, but do you want that many days off? You don't play till Monday or Tuesday with a playoff start. I'd play the guys a half at least. San Antonio's laying 7.5. Again, the Jazz tweeted this out. Conley out, Gobert out, Moutier questionable. Portland's lane 9 and 237, the one total we have. Welcome in. Follow the money. Polly Howard, Mitch Moss, Visa, and the Sports Betting Network talking about the opening lines at Bet Rivers and the association in a game that means nothing to close it out. Orlando's 3.5 against the Pelicans. And, I mean, a ton of guys are questionable. Well, now. I mean, I think all these guys are out for Orlando, too. Where did I put my notes?
I have it right here.
Gordon's out. Yeah.
Fournier. Michael Carter-Williams.
Yeah.
They're all out. Terrence Ross. So, but you have that on the flip side for the Pelicans. Holiday, Williamson, Ingram, all out. Yeah. Josh Hart. This is a total stay away from me. I can't bet on, two teams playing each other where they have nobody going. By the way, in the Nets game, now all of a sudden, Allen, Harris, LeVert, all available. But how is Jacques Vaughn going to play this? Because I really wish the Nets needed this game.
Yeah,
because I don't know what that number would be. I don't think it's going to be 9 if they needed the game.
Well, this is the discussion about, do you owe it to the other teams? And do you owe it from an integrity standpoint to go out there and fight and at least try play hard? Because so much is riding on this. I mean, if you lay down, you're giving the team a buy into the 8-9. So, but that's interesting how some teams will play this. They've also got an email, ftm@vsin.com. FTM at VSiN.com. Thanks for all the tweets and emails I was asking about. Called Richard Robinson, Bet365 has the Avalanche 850 adjusted series. That's what it should be, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if you handicap the series going in and you watched game one yesterday, you tell me it's going to take an act of God for Arizona to score. And Kemper is going to have to be Superman. Because he stole two games against Nashville, and they were thoroughly outplayed in a couple of those games. But this isn't Nashville. This is Colorado. And they finally, you see the firepower, where it's like, bam, three goals in 90 seconds. And they win 3-0. And the shots on goal were 40-14. At no point did I think Arizona was going to score yesterday. And I was betting in play under, but I still lost. Mike Palm actually bet under a half in the third period, which you can bet in William Hill. And he got under 2.5 for the game. But then Colorado can do that. So 850 is more in line with than the $6 that you're seeing at other spots with the adjusted series price.
All right, it is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. Okay, so we have a really big UFC fight card. It is a pay-per-view coming up on Saturday night. Jordan Sherwood joins the program, hosting the main event on ESPN West Palm. Good to have you on the program again, Jordan. Thanks for checking in here today. Let's begin with then the main event itself with Miocic taking on Cormier. I'm looking at the Westgate right now with their odds. Cormier is $1.15. The round prop is 2.5. The favorite, of course, is the over at -150. Break down this fight for us, how you're going to bet it, and tell me if you think the smaller octagon here, the 25-footer at the Apex in Las Vegas, will help out either fighter.
Yeah, no, it's a great fight. I mean, it has so much significance because it's going to determine who the greatest heavyweight fighter of all time is between Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier. The big thing for me is going to be, you know, what adjustments were made on Cormier's side. You know, obviously Cormier in the first fight just completely steamrolled Stipe Miocic, got him into a dirty boxing match and knocked him out in the first round. In the second fight, Stipe made some initial adjustments trying to fight at distance. Cormier still tried to get it into a dirty boxing match, but then midway through that fight, Stipe again made an adjustment, went to the body, which we've seen Daniel Cormier vulnerable before. Body shots led to the eventual TKO finish for Stipe in that fourth round. So will Daniel Cormier at 41 years of age in maybe his final fight make the adjustments to prevent body shots and leg kicks that Stipe Miocic is going to look to throw? That's a question that I think we know the answer. It's highly unlikely. I mean, that a guy's going to do that for one fight with one fight remaining in his career. A lot of people say that the smaller octagon plays favor to Daniel Cormier. I actually disagree. I think it's going to help out Stipe Miocic a lot more because of his size, because of his athleticism. I'm betting the over at 2.5. I think that these guys will feel each other out. And it will be a great fight. I don't think it'll go five rounds. And right now, I think at where he is at $1.05 or maybe even some spots plus money, Stipe Miocic is the play. I really do believe that. I think that, you know, he, younger fighter, we'll see who comes in lighter. Both guys came in actually lighter than they did originally in the first fight. Will they come in lighter again? I think this is Stipe Miocic's fight to lose. I think if he gets out of the first round, he wins and wins pretty easily.
Over 2.5 rounds, -150. You like the over, you said?
I do. Okay. I do like the over. I think this is going to be a chess match between guys. This isn't going to be like a Francis Ngannou, you know, fight where one guy's just going to bull rush. It's going to be a chess match. Who's going to adjust? They're going to feel each other out. And albeit a smaller octagon, I still like the over at 2.5.
All right, 22-2 against 19-3. Just a fantastic card coming up on Saturday. How about Sugar Sean? All the rage, undefeated, 12-0. He's already fought on one of the cards here with the restart. Mm-hmm. He's a $3 favorite against Vera. I mentioned that cool idea, that cool offer that they have at Bet Rivers. Will he win inside of 60 seconds? Yes, is 13-1. What do you think of Sugar Sean here?
Yeah, I mean, Sugar Sean should be the favorite. You know, he definitely has a uniqueness and aura about him. Marlon Vera, you know, is a tough customer. I like the way he fights. You know, he's an outstanding fighter, but he's another stylistic matchup that's favorable for Sean O'Malley. He's a guy that likes to get into a dirty fight. He leads with his head and he gets hit a lot. And albeit that Marlon Vera in six losses in his mixed martial arts career has never been stopped. And he's very impressive. He's 9-4 in the UFC. Should actually be 10-3. The last fight in Jacksonville, he won that fight against Song Yadong, but judges kind of screwed him over in that one. But this again, is a perfect matchup for Sean O'Malley, a guy that's, is not going to really look for the takedown, is going to look to dirty it up, utilize some kicks, but at the end of the day, turn it into a boxing match. And I don't agree, though, the 60 seconds. I think Marlon Vera is too tough a customer than the previous two fights that Sean O'Malley has had. Quinones and Eddie Lineland to get stopped that early. But I do think Sean O'Malley does win this fight. It is a favorable matchup. And it's a little bit frustrating for me as more of a MMA purist because Sean O'Malley has not fought a wrestler. He's not fought a guy in the top 10 in the bantamweight division. And he's likely going to be pining for a title shot after this fight. And the UFC and it's hype machine probably is going to give it to him because, he does definitely brings the eyeballs.
Okay. 2.5 over minus 130. I'm seeing with the round prop in that fight. Rozenstruik against Dos Santos. Rozenstruik, $1.50 and 10-1 record was just obliterated against Ngannou. I guess no shame in that. And I guess Dos Santos on his way out here. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think this is a fight that fans should look to potentially live bet. It might not last that long, but if Junior Dos Santos is leading with his jab and coming forward, he'll win the fight. But I suspect it'll be the latter, which is he's backing up to the cage and then Rozenstruik, lands one knockout punch and ends it. Junior Dos Santos is a fantastic fighter, future Hall of Famer. But this is the first time he's ever had back-to-back losses. First time in seven fights, he's not in the main event. And I just don't think we're in a prime spot for JDS. The one question is Rozenstruik coming back a little bit too early? It's just 3 months ago that he got steamrolled by Francis Ngannou. Took several shots after he was knocked out. And actually, that's the argument that people make why Stipe Miocic lost the first fight to Daniel Cormier. He went five rounds with Ngannou and came back too early to fight Daniel Cormier. I don't believe that. I think Rozenstruik gets the job done. JDS's chin is shot. So I think Rozenstruik, who's got so many kickboxing matches in his, MMA, or I should say MMA, but his mixed martial arts career, should get the win and should get it pretty decisively via knockout.
Okay. $1.40, $1.60, depends where you shop on that one. He likes the favorite. How about the women's fight? Yoder Gal, the over is minus 310, over 2.5. And
I think Souza wins this fight. Okay. and wins it pretty handily. I don't think there, if you want to go to women's fights, I'm going to go to the Felice Herrig fight, against John Araba. Herrig is coming off of an ACL tear, 2 years out of the sport. I think the under hits in that fight, and I think actually you should look for a submission win by John Araba on that fight as well. She's an outstanding grappler, great submission artist, and yeah, it's a pretty price right now. I just think that coming off that long layoff for Herrig, it's not going to be conducive to getting into a scrambling grappling match with an outstanding submission artist. So I'd look for that. Look at the under. It's definitely very valuable right now. And look at the submission win for her.
Jordan, I'm looking under 2.5 rounds right now, plus $1.85 range.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, Verna has struggled. She struggled. She lost in her UFC debut against Carla Esparza. We've seen Carla Esparza. Obviously, she's an outstanding fighter. But that's what they think of, Yonda Raba. So 15-1. She definitely should be a 3-1 favorite. And again, Herrig, is a good athlete and a good defensive wrestler, but like she shouldn't welcome this submission grappling match against someone as well versus Verna on the ground. So that's why I think that there's a sneaky play there for Verna via submission and the under.
That is plus 240 at Circa, and the under you can actually get 2-1 with the under, as high as 2-1 with the under in a fight. Good call, hopefully good call, but I like that.
Yeah. Anything else in the card that sticks out to you?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think the one that you have there right now with John Dodson and Merab Dvalishvili, Merab is a great fighter. Comes from a great camp, Cyril Longo, takedown after takedown after takedown, but he's a little erratic with his striking. And John Dodson, even though he's 35 years old, is a tough out and he's coming off a very impressive win. He knocked off another young prospect. I might actually look at the dog in that fight in John Dodson. I just think that people are sleeping on him because he's been there, done that, been in the UFC for so long. But I think it's a favorable price, tough matchup for Divisvili. So maybe John Dotson as a slight underdog, you know, in that fight. And if you want to get off and get off early, the first fight of the night, TJ Brown and Chavez, Danny Chavez, go the under in that fight. Chavez, 13 fights, 11 finishes. Brown has 21 fights, 19 finishes. So get the under, man. I think it's plus money now for Brown and Chavez to open up the card.
Well, that's a great way to start it then. How many combined finishes? Like over 30 in their fights?
Yeah, it's looking at right now 40 or, over 30, 34, or 30 finishes and 34 fights.
Wow, jeez.
Yeah.
It's a good way to get it going. You can follow Jordan on Twitter. He's at WoodOn1063, host of the main event on ESPN West Palm. It's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday night. Good luck with the bets. Thanks for the time today.
All right, fellas. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Well done. Thank you.
There you go. I was wondering, like that Ngannou fight against Rozenstruik during the shutdown, do you like just take a line and draw that through Rozenstruik and just say, well, I mean, Ngannou was going to knock out an elephant that night with some of those strikes.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to knock out any person on the planet. Or do you say, maybe now he could be lacking in some confidence here and a little bit shy?
No, I think Dos Santos is finished.
Yeah.
I don't think
that's the way I would lean
to finish. Dotson's 2-1. And then the over in that fight's $3. And then he mentioned the Chavez, which is small plus money or even to the under William Hill. Good card. Good card.
It is. Good pay-per-view. Like the fights. That good fun prop, by the way, in 60 seconds for O'Malley at Bet Rivers, 13-1.
Yeah, they have great stuff up like that. Like they'll put up like the Yankees, Mets, and Nationals all win, 9-1, whatever. They'll put that up. Will these three teams win? Lakers, whoever win, they put that up too. I mean, that's great stuff. It's called it's under their specials, Illinois specials that they have up there too, that they offer. But that O'Malley thing is great. Great job by Bet Rivers. And this will be fun. This won't get lost because there's only one NBA game Saturday. We have the playoff hockey, you know, baseball. We'll worry about you later. So it's not a great golf tournament. So it's always done well as far as the handle, but this will be, we will not get lost in the shuffle with a busy weekend.
No, I think this is going to do well with the overall betting handle. And I think it's going to do well with pay-per-view sales too.
Yeah,
because I think a lot of people are, you know, they like a good heavyweight fight, and we have one here. As Jordan said, the winner is probably going to be declared the best heavyweight champion of all time in the history of the UFC. Yeah.
What's going on in the golf?
Right now, it looks like good old Robbie Shelton. We all had him, right, to be the first round leader. He is 3-under through 5 early. He's up on Hearn, Perez, Brian, Duncan. All of those golfers are 1-under, along with Kazire and Fratelli. Boy, this Dylan Fratelli kid has been playing terrific golf since the shutdown, since we came back. And he birdied his first hole. McNeely,
Fratelli.
He's even. I want to see if there are any big names. Neiman, he's even through too.
That's the guy whose idol was Jack Nicklaus, and he wanted to meet him. And then they set it up after he got off the 18 because Nicklaus was there. And then Jack's like, hey, how you doing? Okay. I mean, he didn't give him much either. That was disappointing. Mm-hmm. That Nance made sure to set that up. Horschel, Simpson, Koepka and Spieth are now underway. They all parred the first hole. They're out there now too.
I was watching Koepka's birdie attempt, by the way. He kind of burned the edge again. Yeah. Can you get his putting back? Koepka, a lost soul last week on the weekend at the PGA Championship. A lot of these guys, though. David Duvall was awesome talking about Jordan Spieth. And if there's anybody maybe in the history of this game, at least like in our lifetime, who can talk about Jordan Spieth and what he's going through right now, that would be David Duvall. Yeah. I remember, I mean, David Duvall was going to be the guy. We had many of them, right? Oh, he's going to challenge Tiger. Like Duvall was going to be the guy to challenge Tiger. He was one of the best golfers in the world and then just completely disappeared. So.
Well, yeah, he stunk. I mean, he was putting ridiculous numbers every tournament. How do you shoot that? Yep. What happened to this guy?
So here's the deal. If you missed Jordan's picks with us a little bit earlier here in this segment, you're going to get his picks. You're going to get our picks later on throughout the day. You're going to get all the host picks, the guest picks on VSiN every single day. All you have to do is get the free daily email when you subscribe and put the
Oh, in the middle of the read. Oh, come on. How does that happen? That is funky. That is really funky. We're offering our best prices of 2020 on VSiN subscriptions. We even offer a free trial if you still aren't sure which option's best for you. Take advantage of these offers now. Prices go up once the NFL season starts. Subscribe today and put the VSiN experts to work for you. Daily email updates. Again, the best bets, 24/7 video access, point spread weekly, our annual NFL betting guide, exclusive betting stats and power ratings on VSiN.com. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe today and get in on this special offer before it expires. We'll hear a little bit from the Bear. Chris Felica up next, and an update on where we stand, what conferences, college football, and you. Get in on the action at PointsBet. If you're in Jersey, Iowa, or Indiana, it's the best sports book for all your favorite sports. See for yourself their faster, easier app with faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards. PointsBet is offering a lot of promotions and no juice spreads on all NBA regular season games. Download the PointsBet app today and start betting with 100% deposit match up to $250. The code is VSIN250. Deposit 250, get an extra 250 in bonus bets. That's VSIN250. $100 minimum deposit, must be present in Indiana, New Jersey, or Iowa, must be over 21. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have a gambling problem. Points bet, stay sharp. Okay, how are you thinking? I mean, this changes every day, Mitch. But
I know.
We have the Big Ten's out, the Pac-12's out, the MAC's out, the Mountain West's out, the ACC intends to play, the Big 12. How about the Big 12? I mean, that was, it's all down to you. And, you know, there's still, I don't agree with the, you know, the media rooting against us. It's just nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. But there are some people, and one of them works at this network. There are some people that want to say, I told you so. And that's very disappointing because I want to make sure this, we want this to happen. And even if it's five or six conferences, we want this to go. You have the ACC, the Big 12, the SEC, the American Athletic Conference USA. Sun Belt had a meeting last night. I don't know how that went. But the American wants to play September 5th. How about that? They want to come back that soon. It's right around the corner.
Well, I mean, all of this stuff is, you know, all things considered here, Paulie, very aggressive. I mean, the Oklahoma situation where they bumped up one of their games to August 29th. Okay, if you're going to play a season, that would be great. But I don't think you have to rush into announcing exactly when you're going to play. Can we maybe learn from what happened to the Big Ten and the Pac-12? I mean, they announced their schedules last week. Everybody got excited. Oh, my God, look at when Ohio State plays Michigan. I can't believe they're going to do that in October. And then 4 days later, the season's gone. So, I mean, it also, I think, kind of destroys expectations for your fans, right, and for the country. Oh, right, look at the schedule. I can't. And then, oh, no, really? You can take it away from us again? But as long as, you know, I'm fully on board, if they can make it happen, if they can make it work, if everybody can, you know, somehow figure out a bubble type situation, the players, the coaches can be safe.
Here's the Oklahoma schedule. They start with Missouri State on the 12th. This is strange. They're going to play it. They want to play in the Cotton Bowl without fans because the Texas State Fair is canceled. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones says he wants to play in front of fans. That was a bizarre, that was a surreal piece of theater. You can put that back, guys. October 12th against Texas, and then Bedlam would be November 21st with their schedule that they released yesterday and what they came out with. But, you know, who knows? I mean, with Conference USA wanting to give it a go, the SEC, Big 12, the American Athletic, I can't believe that. I read that yesterday. I couldn't believe it that they want to play September 5th. Oh,
I am fully on board with these Big Ten teams that still want to play. Ohio State is out there. Penn State, Franklin, he wants to play. Nebraska, Iowa. If they can somehow make this for 1 year and go to the Big 12, and the Big 12 is going to play football, and they can figure this out.
Well, didn't Warren shoot that down? I thought Warren shot that down yesterday, the commissioner.
I did not see that. If he did, I missed that.
That's not happening. And then Day, who was all hot and bothered, said he wants to play in January. I think that's possible. They want to play this in January, start their season up. But who knows?
The more I read about that idea, I just the more pessimistic I become, just because, again, you're going to play from what? January? And by the way, consider this. In January and February, some of these, let's say the smaller conferences, hell, not even the smaller conferences, because some big conferences, they have schools in smaller, like college towns. What's the weather going to be like? Are you going to be able to travel after a snowstorm, you know, dumps 24 inches in the Midwest in a span of, 36 hours? Is that going to be possible? And then,
well, don't give me the weather.
But you're going to piggyback playing in the spring with then coming back a couple of months later to play the 2021 season.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
No.
This is Chris Felik. Do we have enough time? We don't have enough time. Okay. I'll do it coming up because Chris Felik, the Bear, was on with Gil. But the other interesting thing is about what does it mean here, and David Purdom had a good write-up that we'll get to on ESPN Chalk about what does this mean for your future bets. Jeff Davis, when weird stuff happens, you can't plan for it. Some of this is going to be handled on a case-by-case situation. You refund. If you had Ohio State, you get the refund, but for others, who knows? Maybe if you just have a couple conferences that are left standing, you say, okay, well, they say they're a champion, so it counts. It's going to be weird.
Hear what Felika had to say about us getting college football yesterday here on VSiN. That's coming up next. From the Indeed.com studio, find the high impact hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high impact. That's Indeed.com/high impact for more information. We were talking college football in the previous segment. We'll continue with that here as David Purdom had this story on ESPN Chalk about what sportsbooks are going to do with college football and how a lot of them have just said, we're going to halt betting and on that entire sport for right now. Caesars, for example, it's going to be like check your house rules, right? Yeah. Caesars, it looks like Heisman bets are going to be still, it's still a go because with their fine rules, it said honored as long as the award is presented before March 31st at Caesars. Well, here would be my question. Silly me, I thought we'd have this tricky virus contained by now. But so I made two future bets back in June. I bet Tanner Morgan at Minnesota. Big Ten's not playing football. Is that going to be a refund or is that a loser? Because I also bet Andrew Luck to win the MVP last year in the NFL at a book that did not honor that. Others did. The book I bet it at said, nope, sorry, it's action. Doesn't matter that he retired. You're going to lose your bet. So no Big Ten football. I don't know. I'm a little confused on this one. I have Mac Jones 25-1. Again, what if we have 30 teams playing college football? Is that bet still live? I can't imagine it would be.
Right.
They probably have to adjust the numbers, obviously. Yep.
Bet MGM, we refund the teams that don't play. Some sportsbooks' odds specify that the national champion is the winner of the college football playoff championship game, which could cause issues if a playoff is impossible. Caesars, however, just requires a national champion to be declared. Jeff Davis, if Drake plays Northern Iowa and what the NC2A says is the national championship game, then everyone's on the hook. This article from David Purdom. FanDuel, those bozos, actually have an act of God stipulation in its house rules that includes pandemics and allows the book to exercise its discretion in such situations. This is really a mess, I know.
It is.
FanDuel, pay people out there when bets FanDuel. What's the latest on that? Yep. But this is going to be tricky. And who knows? because if there's another outbreak in another conference or another school, does it shut down? But, you know, fingers crossed they can pull this off. So we're down to what, six conferences standing, six, seven left, whatever it is. But Chris Felica, the Bear, was on with Gil yesterday, and he was asked to break this down about what he thinks is going to happen and what are the odds if we're going to have a college football season.
I think we're still an underdog to play the year. I think Pete touched on it a little bit earlier. It's kind of how I feel too. Everyone got all excited. Oh, the Big 12 is going to play in that. Now, what the Big 12 said is they're going to pursue moving forward with the hopes of playing, release the schedule. And that's where we are. Remember, the Big Ten and Pac-12 released the schedule last week or 10 days ago and blew out their seasons yesterday. So, I mean, the fact that they released the schedule and said they're moving forward to play doesn't mean they're playing. So I still think playing is a slight underdog.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, I would agree. How big of an underdog?
Plus 120?
No, bigger than that.
I think $2?
Yeah. I mean, I'm confident the SEC will play.
Me too.
But if it's just the SEC, they're gonna say, well, the hell with it, right? And who's gonna join them? That's why the Big 12 decision was so important, because the SEC and the ACC are saying, come on, let's go. We need someone else though. But yeah.
I think the ACC will. Same region of the country. I think they're gonna march forward with this.
Is the virus going to will this cooperate though? I mean, these kids are still going to house parties and all this other business.
I mean, they are college kids after all. Yeah. I mean, right? If they're not going to bubble, Paul, I mean, teams will have cases of COVID. That's going to happen.
I don't know. I'm not going to do it today. I'm not going to lose my mind. But again, yeah. Larry David, right? In March, all we asked you to do was sit at home on your couch and watch TV. Couldn't do it. Okay, couldn't do it. And so here we are. Here's Brad Powers, who used to work with Phil Steele. Very good. His updated power ratings with teams who are still playing. Clemson, number one. Bama, number two. This surprises me. LSU, three. LSU ahead of Georgia. That is surprising. Georgia, four. And then Rattler with Oklahoma, which I agree with Sooner Adam. I know all his buddies back there want him to bet Rattler to win. The guy's never started a game. He's 12-1 to win the Heisman at some spot.
I know it.
Florida. No. Which I like. I think Florida will be good. A&M, Notre Dame, Auburn, Texas, North Carolina, very important, Central Florida. I mean, if you don't have these power leagues, you got to put – how are you going to do a 14 playoff? I think it's got to come from the American. So Central Florida is going to be nasty, and then you have Oklahoma State. That's Brad Powers' top list.
If we only have a couple of conferences, why play conference championship games? Are you going to have a conference title game out of the SEC and the Big 12 or the ACC and say, okay, now they're going to play for the national title? Is that what it's going to be? Okay. I asked, by the way, Brad, on Twitter, give me some of the teams that would have been in your top 13 if they were still playing. Okay. And I said, I'm guessing Ohio State would be number two behind Clemson. He said, no, they'd be number one. Don't forget.
Yeah.
Last year's Ohio State, the Buckeyes.
They blew it.
They were power rated to the moon. I am from Midwest, the Midwest region. That was the best Ohio State team I've ever seen. They were completely loaded. They were better than Clemson, and they were a better matchup for LSU, but they blew the game. That was on them.
How about the team that won the title with a third-string quarterback? Zeke Elliott.
They were awesome. They were awesome.
Well, you're right. They blew the game against Clemson. There's no doubt about it.
They did. He would have Ohio State 1. He'd have Wisconsin number 8. Which I was a little bit surprised that they were that high. Penn State, number 10. He said they dropped because Micah Parsons is going to go to the NFL, and he is probably, a top 5 pick. Oregon, 11. Michigan, 14. USC, number 16. But they're not going to be in it, so that's why you're going to have teams like, and I know people have made a case for North Carolina and what Mac Brown has done to be the team that could truly give Clemson a run for the money in the ACC. They did last year. They had that team dead to rights. They were very good, and that quarterback is outstanding.
Yeah, Brett McMurphy tweeted the other day, and Brett does a great job with stadium. The Sun Belt Conference plans to follow the SEC's lead.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fair too. about all this talk about UCF, and we got some tweets on that, too. Don't forget about App State. How good is that program? And what they did. They beat North Carolina and South Carolina.
Sure.
Excellent program.
They are very good year in and year out. Oh. All right, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We will get into today's baseball card, some updated division numbers, but maybe throw this at you as well at some point. What the NFL is considering doing with their schedule.
Yes.
Expanding, you know, yeah. to Saturdays, maybe even playing games earlier than that here as we continue on a Thursday on VSiN. Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN20 at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped.com with the promo code VSIN20.
Yep. We are down. One thing, we are down to 39 Power 5 teams in college football. And this was in the middle of the night. Conference USA is status quo and pushing forward. No vote was taken. Presidents met for a long time after the 80s. And have asked their medical advisors to update procedures. Doctors on the call advised the league that issues tied to myocarditis should not be the lone reason to postpone fall sports. They recommended specific heart tests for both symptomatic and asymptomatic positives. They recommend COVID tested as frequently as possible. That's Conference USA.
Okay.
I love that league too.
It's fun.
It is.
Fun. Now, what do you think of this? Pro Football Talk had this tweet. And Mark Maskey of the Washington Post confirmed it as well, that with college football maybe being completely out of the mix and then high school football being limited, not only would the NFL consider sprinkling games on Saturday, but there's a consideration here that they could put some games on Friday nights.
Yes. Yeah.
You like that idea?
Well, sure. I love it. I want football every day, but it goes back to player safety. And they already have, you know, they're already in an uproar about they can't stand Thursday night football. So now if you want to go Friday as well, I'm all for it. Especially you can put, I don't know, why can't you have a triple header every Saturday?
Well, that to me would be the big one.
Yeah.
You could play, whatever the times would be.
Yeah.
You could put three, maybe four. I think three is good enough on Saturdays. I would also tinker with the idea this year of a double header on Monday nights. I hate the idea of Friday night football. This year alone, I would actually say we're going to get rid of Thursday night football as well. Because
that makes sense.
I'm deathly afraid of. You could, absolutely. Yeah. Because here's the thing, right? Who's buying tickets to go to these games on Thursday night? Who's flying into these football cities to go and watch your teams play? Who's booking hotel rooms? The answer, nobody. Not going to have fans. So, and here's what I'm scared of too, Paul. With what we've seen in baseball, right, to a couple of teams now. And if you have a couple of guys on a team, maybe a running back, I don't know, for example, runs for 220 yards on Sunday and three scores, and he's on the road. They get back home. They go out that night. Oh, turns out Monday morning COVID test. They suddenly have it, but they're scheduled to play on Thursday night. What, that quick turnaround all of a sudden, if you have a case on a team that they come down with it on a Monday or a Tuesday and they're playing Thursday night, good luck. What are you going to do?
Well, they're not playing Sunday either. But
I'm saying it might, but no. Thursday, you're potentially completely up against it at that point for a team to react to that and how you're going to make up for a guy's loss. And maybe you might have four or five guys or more that come down with it. If you're playing Sunday, you have a little bit more time to actually guys on the practice squad. Who else can we sign right now? Who's available to think about it? There's no need to rush more games and push it up to Friday nights. I hate the idea.
I like the Monday night doubleheader idea. They should be doing that anyways.
They should be.
Yep, very good. Very good. It's a short card in Major League Baseball. We don't have much. Trout had another home run. How about that?
Yeah, surprise.
Trout goes deep again in the loss. I'm on the Rays again. Winner yesterday. I'll come right back with the Rays. Glasnow was terrible in his last start as he got lit up. The Red Sox are throwing a guy making his debut, Hart, and they're $1.50, and they have owned Boston. Owned them. They've lost, I think they beat them seven in a row in Boston, which is strange. But I'll come back with the Rays on this short card. I'll give that out later today. And the Padres and Dodgers finished their four-game set. How about this? It's Kershaw against Paddock. Woo! That's a good matchup.
That's very good. Paddock, as of right now, the better pitcher.
Yes, he is.
And Kershaw. You know what? I'm glad you brought that up on the Red Sox and Rays. I have that number somewhere. Here you go. 9-5 last night. ESPN Stats and Info. You're right. Seven straight home losses now to Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And over those seven defeats, the Red Sox have allowed at least six runs in every game and have a team ERA of 7.29.
Oh, my God.
It's been total ownage here by the Rays.
Yep. And the Cubbies at home. Cubs are $1.75 against the Brewers. The Brewers are starting a 10-game road trip. The Cubs are 12-3. I said they're going to win the division in the first week. It was more based on camaraderie and how much they like each other and chemistry. But they have a 5.5 game lead already, Mitch. And this is a big series. Maybe Milwaukee's like, okay, good, because we're 2-6 at home. So it'll be good to get out here on the road. But all the issues with Yelich and some big names struggling, and the Cubs have been phenomenal. Great job.
Bryant
went deep the other day, so go ahead. What?
I was going to tell you that we have updated odds here at Bet Rivers. The Cubs, I mean, you better get on this number quick. If you, here's the thing. If you feel like it's appropriate to invest some of your money in division bets in baseball, and you can trust it to where we're going to get 60 games by these teams and nothing else is going to happen. The Cubs right now are $1.52. They're -152 to win the NL Central.
Oh, wow.
Who else is good in that division?
Well, I mean, you still have to respect the Cardinals, but who knows what's going to happen there with all the games they have to make up, but they're still a good organization.
Well, okay, for sure you do, but they played five games so far.
Yeah, but it's winning percentage, though.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The Cardinals can't play 20 games. The Cubs play 60, and then the Cardinals are going to beat them up by a percentage point. There's going to have to be a minimum amount of games.
I don't say it's going to be that low, but you still have to ask me who could do it. I mean, the Cardinals, they'll make those games up. The other thing is I think I would make a future bet because I like what's going on now recently, and I love what the Cleveland Indians did, and I love what Pluko did. He ripped Clevinger and said, you lied to our face and you lied to everybody. I mean, you went out, you lied, you said, hey, follow the rules, and you go out there with Plesac, and you're going out there on the town. So then the Indians said, beat it. Get out of here, you guys. I mean, it's ridiculous how you're acting. So with what's happened with St. Louis, if you actually look at the numbers, the testing, they've done an excellent job with the numbers. He just had a couple, the incident with St. Louis and also with the Marlins. So baseball's doing a good job, and I love what the Indians are doing, especially with the health issues of Francona. How are you acting like that, Clevinger, and behaving like that? Again, follow the rules. But I would make future bets now in baseball. I think they're going to get this in. And then with the playoff bubble, which they're considering as well. But the Cubs are on fire. They're having a great season.
Updated numbers to win the AL Central. Odds via Bet Rivers. Twins are $1.59. This is as of last night, by the way. And I had my Ada and the Twins yesterday against the Brewers. That was easy peasy. They erupted immediately, got Maeda a ton of run support, and he was really good yet again. And I think the final score last night was 12-2. The Twins 159 to win that division. Indians are +275. The Sox bats, I mean, when that lineup gets going like they are right now, that Sox lineup is tough. They're +350. Yeah, forget about with my Tigers. On the 200-1.
Ah, kid can dream.
Well,
yeah. Twins had a bit of a funk, even though they broke out of it yesterday. The other thing, too, with the Cubbies. You can throw all their division odds, guys. Darvish, the pitching's been great. Chatwood's pitched well. Lester's been awesome. Hendricks, not bad. Darvish is putting up good stats, good numbers. So, you know, if they get that kind of pitching, watch out, because you know the Cubs have a great offense, and they have so many guys that can hit. And then the Reds have been a disappointment. The problem with the Cardinals, as you mentioned, so Cubs with a comfortable lead. And the other thing, too, with the A's. What are the A's up? Five games? Five-game lead at four? four or five game lead in the division for the A's too. So
believe it or not, now it's four over Texas.
Texas again. Okay.
Yep.
With the, I'm surprised they lost two out of three to the Angels, but
me too.
I cut them a break. They'd won nine in a row. At least they avoided the sweep. So the A's 280 at Bet Rivers. Good for Mike Palm. He's got them 4-1. Astros really in a funk. Life and death just to beat the Giants in some of these games. So 35-1 with the Rangers. Playing good ball, getting good pitching.
They really are.
Yep.
Lance Lynn's numbers, I'm not going to bet him to win the Cy Young because his numbers are already so low, and they have been pretty much the entire year. But he's in the mix. I think he's given up like one or two runs the entire year in three starts. Yep. Been really solid.
What's the NL West? You threw that out yesterday about the Rockies.
And yeah, so I had somebody tell me they were going to bet the Rockies. He tried to do it yesterday for like a, I think he tried to put a nickel on him to win the division. He was limited to like $95, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I could see that with the Dodgers going through the, they are going through the motions. I mean, that lineup is so scary. It just, they've been a disappointment. I mean, the fact that they couldn't even win the series against the Giants, come on. But then the Rockies just lose that series against Arizona, and the pitching was awful. But 6-1, and I know a lot of people tweeted in yesterday that they sound some juicy price. And how about Blackman? Blackman didn't have a hit in a 15-7 game after coming to the game at 5. Did he go 0-4? 0-5?
I think he did. Yeah, he was 0-4 when I tweeted out. Had the pressure of hitting 500 caught up with him. Can't take it. He's weak. Weak sauce with Blackman.
Yeah.
Kiss your MVP tickets goodbye.
Great.
No, but they've been a good story. I was anti Luke Weaver yesterday, I had the Rockies in pocket. Did point out how I was going to bet the Rockies team totals over first five, and for the full game they each got there. But the Diamondbacks finally, you know, they exploded in Coors to get that win in Luke Weaver. But make no mistake about it, he was not good again yesterday. He is not the guy who came on down the stretch a season ago.
Yep.
In the back half of the season.
He's a go against betting the over as well, and so is the throw in Samoan, who can't get me out right now with the A's. Ooh, ugly numbers with the throw in Samoan.
Uh-huh.
That's another one.
Braves are plus 105 to win the East. Nationals are 3-1. They got clobbered last night by the Mets.
I don't want them.
I want nothing to do with Washington 3-1. Ugh. It would take a lot more for me to bet on that team to win that division. Phillies 4, Mets 6, Marlins 14. That was a wild game last night.
Yes.
Against the Blue Jays.
Oh, I know. Blew a huge lead. And the Jays tied it, and then they lost in extra innings. It came all the way back to tie that at 11. Yeah, God, is Bichette good. Ooh. Future's bright for the Blue Jays.
How about this? Tweet from Stats by Stats. The Blue Jays have homered in six consecutive innings, only the fifth time in Major League Baseball history that happened in a game. And it happened most recently in 2017. The Twins homered in seven consecutive innings. Pretty good. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Email is always open. We'll get to mailbag a little bit later on. It's ftm@vsiN.com. FTM for follow the money at vsiN.com.
That was 8-0.
We will recap.
8-0 in that game. Yeah.
Okay. We will recap yesterday's action, go over updated series prices in the NHL, and tell you who's in and who's out, I guess, more specifically in the NBA for these games coming up today.